Next on BYUSN, Yegor Demian makes it official. He's entering the NBA draft. We'll discuss the latest chatter around BYU and the transfer portal to take that point guard position. BYU finishes the season ranked number 13 in the AP poll. Is that higher than we thought? And will BYU be ranked higher in next year's preseason poll?
Travis Hansen's on the program to shed more light on Yegor Demian's decision and what Cougar hoops could look like moving forward. Anilo Vea Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski, it's her birthday. Break down what it will take for Cougars softball to return to the NCAA tournament. What a game last night.
Unbelievable. History, in a way. We'll get to that. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, April 9th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who can appreciate a good record breaker, Jerem Jordan.
Kayla Kamoku was unbelievable last night. She had 8 RBIs, a grand slam, and a 3-run shot. That looked and sounded like this from Spencer.
Down the line at third base, and Kamoku, high and deep, center field, a grand slam!
Wow.
Oh, she's swinging away, hit well, center field. You gotta be kidding me! An 8 RBI day for Kayla Kamoku.
Is it just me, or is Kayla small?
She's 5'3".
She's 5'3", and she's just launching bombs out of Miller Park, which is great. Kayla is a baller. That was really fun to see. Congrats to BYU on a nice win on a Tuesday night against Utah Tech, and looking forward to chatting with some of her teammates coming up.
My favorite was when she did her post-game interview. When she finished, she just looked at the camera and went, and hey, held it for like 5 seconds.
Hey, when you got 8 ribbies, you can do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Every at-bat produced a run. Every at-bat produced a run.
It's not just about getting on base for her, I guess. You got to bring them home.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that the greater mission of BYU? Let's all get back to home base, right? Let's all get home together.
We've now come full circle.
Yeah.
There's
a gospel principle there.
We've elevated this show.
8 RBIs.
It's an infinity pattern, Jerem.
Absolutely.
See what we're doing here?
Yeah, I do. Getting philosophical. You thought the Devo was yesterday, didn't you?
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Super excited to announce that I will be putting my name in the 2025 NBA draft.
Wait, we obviously have several follow-up questions. What else is BYU going to find in the portal? How much will this impact what BYU's expectations are? Weighty questions. What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Obviously, yesterday was full of mixed emotions when Yegor Demian announced that he is leaving BYU to pursue his NBA dream. We wish him the best. Then he proceeded to give one of the best news conferences ever for a BYU athlete, especially that young, and just how genuine and gracious he was and how many people he thanked. And you're left feeling like, man, I wish we could just have more of him as a person around for another year. So, again, bittersweet. But it also leads this. BYU doesn't have point guard, Jerem. All three are gone.
I heard that.
Yegor, gone. Dallin Hall, gone.
And again, repeating, Dallin's out of here. He's not coming back.
No.
Like, he's gone.
He's in the portal. He's going to another school.
He's going somewhere else.
Okay, Elijah Crawford, gone. So what in the world does BYU do at the point guard position? Now, fittingly, it didn't take long. A lot of chatter about BYU going after a notable star point guard from another Big 12 school in the portal.
That played against BYU and had a great game.
You know the drill on this show. Until it is official or something becomes official from the university, we can't say his name, but we know who the player is.
We will toe the line.
Jerem, how would said player fit at BYU trying to replace Yegor Demian and Dallin Hall?
And again, if you don't know who we're talking about, just go on Twitter. It'd fit great, Spence. If it works out, the BYU is able to get that player. It fit great. He had similar numbers to Yegor last year, by the way, about 11 points a game, 4 assists per game, better assist to turnover ratio and better points per game than Yegor, better shooter than Yegor. Not as good of a passer and vision as Yegor. Obviously, the upside for Yegor Demian's really high, but this is a guy that coming out of high school was a top 25 recruit in the country. Happened to be Cooper Flagg's point guard on his high school team, by the way.
Oh.
6'2", strong, creates off the dribble. When you think about When I think of the Final Four, Spencer, I think of guards that made big shots. This is a guy that could be that kind of guy for BYU. deep in a run in March, we hope, next year. So I think the fit would be great. Obviously, it's just been, a couple days since he's been in the portal. I'm sure BYU is going through all the rigmarole of trying to get the right players that fit in the program on campus. Obviously, NIL comes into play. What is available from BYU, the back and forth. That takes a little bit of time. It felt like yesterday there were some reports that were just a little too quick.
A little?
And, let's get to that in a second. Let's just talk fit. How do you think said player fits? And then we'll get into what happened yesterday.
Well, let's see. Would BYU like a guy who can score at all three levels and can get downhill? And, yeah, is not as good a passer as Yegor Demin, but certainly has that capability. And, I don't know, understands the Big 12 because said player has been in it.
And has cooked on the Marriott Center court. I think he scored 12 or 14 in a row.
But the frustration of Cougar fans over that span of time. Maybe forced overtime, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Conor McGregor got to watch it.
Yeah, I think the fit is outstanding. When I first heard his name and thought about the prospect of him being BYU's point guard, I was obviously excited.
Oh, that'd be great.
I was ecstatic about the thought of this player teaming up with.
The green and yellow looks great on you, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, there are a lot of reasons I wore this shirt today. Maybe that's one of them. Okay?
Huh? I don't know what you're talking about. Compliance.
Okay. But think about this player. By the way, as far as portal grades go, five-star. Five-star player.
Top point guard available, apparently?
Yep. So, yeah, I like the fit, Jeremy. Yeah. I think there's a place for him. And the lore of playing with A.J. DeBonta and maybe Richie Saunders and Kay Bakeda and whoever else.
I'll be shocked if Richie does not come back, by the way. I'll be shocked. Personal opinion.
Come back,
Richie. Personal opinion.
Do it again. He's a bona fide star. You are a BYU legend.
He's not a guaranteed first rounder. Why would you leave?
A fair question.
Yeah.
I don't think that
he will. I think he's coming back. But I think he should declare, see what it's like, come back.
I love the fit.
Yeah.
And I think Dawson Baker, I love Dawson Baker. I want him back at BYU. I think he's an integral part of what this team wants to do. He's trusted.
Yeah.
Dawson could fill, if needed be, a backup point guard role at times. He did this year.
I want
another guy,
yes,
but I'm saying.
I do think you need another guy.
If Dawson comes back, that helps certainly a little bit in the guard rotation.
We just showed a highlight from the McDonald's All-American game. You know why? Because BYU has a player from the McDonald's All-American game coming. I don't know if you heard this. His name's A.J. DeBonta.
Jeremy, I do this.
I'm still not sort of comprehending that that's reality.
No, I have that realization often. It's the same feeling I get when I see Luka Doncic on the Lakers. I'm like, Luka plays for the Lakers?
Well, ask Dallas tonight. he's playing in Dallas.
And I see A.J. DeBonta. I'm like, okay. That guy's going to play at BYU?
Let's get to the issue at hand from yesterday.
Yes, please.
There was a lot of conversation around, hey, there's a certain NIL number, and this guy is coming to BYU. First off, neither of those are true today. Like, so-and-so has not signed.
No, inaccurate.
And that number is, it's too high. Like, I love the idea that there's a perception around BYU that they are, like, number one in NIL. The reality is BYU is one of the best NIL schools there is, which should be celebrated. Stop the shaming of this, even internally. This is amazing that our donors are unbelievable. This should be celebrated. The other thing I want to talk about is you cannot say the word tampering and have no evidence. You cannot say racist comments were said at a volleyball match from Duke and Hawaii and have no evidence. You cannot use these things lightly.
No.
One of these is more serious than the other, just to point that out. But I'm tired of people using words with no evidence. We're not completely journalistic on this program. We work for BYU. We have an agenda here. But we like to be fair to the situation.
When it comes to matters like that,
yes,
we are journalistic.
Yes. There were people that weren't fair online to what happened with what is happening and has happened with this situation. You said it really well yesterday. I'll give you a sec to talk about it. Gregor Bell had a great tweet as well. Quote, I'm seeing erroneous social media traffic about BYU activity in the men's hoops transfer portal. What BYU does when making receiving contact with from players in the portal, it does ethically and within the confines of regulations.
Amen.
This place loves to stay within the rules. Trust me.
BYU breaking the rules? That narrative is wild.
Reports to the contrary lack merit, what I'm saying, and don't reflect how the BYU staff operates. Whether regarding names or numbers, speculation without substantiation is unfair to the program and its players. I call for journalistic integrity, which won't happen on Twitter because it's a bunch of clowns sometimes. regarding these things. If you do not have facts, do not present them as such.
Yes. I'll read exactly what I wrote on my post because I felt strongly about it.
I thought it was well
said. I thought a long time about how I was going to state it.
Please.
It says, it's amazing how quickly a social media post about an unconfirmed and erroneous amount of NIL money being allegedly offered to a high-profile athlete can become so widely accepted as straight fact. And I said, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality that we deal with, that especially when one side is jaded and upset, they hear something. And I'll also add this. There are people out there that want to drive a market number for said players and an idea and this what they're worth and push up value.
Commonplace in professional sports.
Okay. What's unfair and really unfortunate about this situation is a lot of people will just accept it and they get hold of it and then it's just a thing. It's just in their minds like, oh, that happened. Oh, yeah, isn't that the guy that BYU offered $3.5 million to? No, it's not even close. It's not close, but people just get stuck on this initial idea that is now taking root and it has no merit. It's not valid.
It is erroneous, but I do love the idea that people think that BYU is loaded. I actually love that perception because what and frankly, the NIL is very competitive here.
Yes.
This should be celebrated, but that number was too high yesterday. That was not correct.
If you want to be mad that BYU has magic with Kevin Young and his staff and they have an incredible culture and they've got a booster group that supports and believes in fully this staff and they're playing by the rules and just so happen to have that type of support, be mad all you want. But I'm here for it, and I love it because they're playing within the rules and they got some magic happening in Provo.
And frankly, the emotion that comes to mind is called jealousy. Next up, BYU finishes the season ranked number 13 in the AP poll. Final. It's the 13th time in program history BYU's entered into the season ranked in the final AP poll. Highest that BYU's finished since 2011 at number 10. Was it higher than you thought?
A little bit. I knew that BYU, because they were number 17 and then they went to the Sweet 16 and beat number 13 at the time, Wisconsin, that they would jump at least a couple of spots. I probably thought they'd show up around 14 or 15, but I love the symmetry of BYU basketball and football both finishing in the final AP poll at the exact same number of 13. I think
that
it's fantastic.
It's
a little bit higher than I thought it might be, but maybe I should have given more credence to the buzz that BYU created in the postseason.
And the excitement for next year. I think that has validity on this year even. It shouldn't, but it does. BYU being the third highest ranked Big 12 team. That's incredible. We're talking about two teams that went to the Elite Eight. One that should have won the national championship game. I mean, an unbelievable year from BYU. And as Justin Young, director of recruiting for BYU, tweeted yesterday, year one.
Year one. By the way, Justin Young
nice.
jokingly said to me recently, I'm on the phone like 20 hours a day. And then he came back and said, I honestly don't think that that's that far off.
I want to see phone screen time usage. I want to see a screenshot of that.
That man deserves a raise. Incredible.
He told me recently, too, we shaking the trees. I love that. I love that.
He has an incredible sense of humor. Oh, like that whole Young clan, all of the brothers.
They're awesome. They're great.
Let's continue on with the rankings. Way too early top 25 polls are out, Jerem, following the national championship.
It's not way too early. It's perfectly timed. We're on to the next season.
Yeah,
I never understand why it's way, because we don't know the rosters. Whatever. Let's go.
Again, the idea that somebody termed it that way and it just stuck.
And so
now everyone's like, yeah, let's just call it that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Between 10 notable publications, okay, notable, like respected publications, folks.
If we don't respect you, we didn't include it.
They have a consensus ranking with BYU at number 10 overall.
Whoa.
Number 10 across all 10 of those. Will BYU be higher in the preseason poll next year than they finished in the AP poll this year? So, again, they finished number 13.
Yes.
Consensus way too early has BYU at number 10. Do you believe that that will hold true when it comes to the actual first AP poll?
I do believe BYU will be higher than 13 in the preseason AP poll. I think there's going to be a lot of juice from, obviously, A.J. DeBonta. I believe Richie Saunders coming back. We know Kaba Kadis back.
Yeah.
We're excited about a potential incoming transfer if that all goes down. Obviously, initial reports, nothing finalized yet, but that player or that kind of player will be exciting. Hear me out. I'm not speaking from sources. I'm speaking from opinion. BYU will sign another one or two guys where we're like, whoa. That's just what has happened the last year here. Why would we think otherwise. BYU is going to have a loaded roster going into next year, and they're going to be a preseason top 10 team. I cannot wait for it.
So you're buying the top 10.
I'm buying the top 10.
See, I do believe that BYU will be higher than 13. I don't know if I'm in quite as a preseason top 10 team. I think it depends, obviously, on what you believe is going to happen. You believe that they will have enough high-profile transfers, and Richie Saunders is coming back. And if that is the case, if BYU goes out and gets this point guard that we have been talking about, unnamed superstar, and Richie Saunders comes back, and there's A.J. DeBonsa.
And, Spence, I'm saying there's going to be one more.
And there's one more.
I'm just guessing, just based on just reading the tea leaves, which around here we don't know how to read tea leaves, let's be honest. Certain kind of tea leaves, but others not. Anyway. Yes, I think BYU will have a top 10 preseason team, which would be very exciting.
If that is the scenario that comes to fruition, I am with you. I think they'll be in the top 10, maybe right at number 10.
Yeah, could be number 10.
But that idea,
it could be 7, 8, 9, I don't know.
Is incredible. The fact that BYU football and basketball, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, both finish at number 13, and that they'll both be ranked in the preseason top 20 going into next season is incredible. In fact, our friend Cougarsats pointed out that's it's never happened.
It's never happened both in the same year preseason?
That both have been in the top 50, it's either the top 15 or top 20. Never happened, ever. But both are projected.
Uh-oh, looks like Happy learned how to putt. Looks like the Cougars in the NIL era in a power league.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Huh? Uh-oh.
Okay, our question of the day. Will BYU men's basketball be ranked better in the preseason poll next year than they finished in the AP poll this year? So, essentially, do you believe it'll be better than number 13 going into next season? At Cougar Tail Diet on X.
What?
I approve of that diet.
What is that name?
In moderation, of course. Moderation in all things. Yes, they believe it, and not because of just A.J. DeBonsa. It's the literal belief that Kevin Young is among the elite without the accolades to yet prove it, which will come.
He's adding to that very quickly, right? Sweet 16 season, Yegor Demon, development of Richie Saunders, getting A.J. DeBonsa. I know there's not a lot of accolades. Yeah, those are some pretty good accolades after 1 year. Like, that's pretty good. That's a lifetime worth for some guys.
At Nate Ricks on X also answers, yes, as the roster fills out, I expect this to be a top 5 preseason team. That was the highest of all those 10 publications. Yeah. Number 5 was the highest.
I don't think it's unrealistic to think that that could actually happen if BYU adds 2 or 3 significant pieces.
That is a lot to mentally digest.
Just saying.
Jeez. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
In 24/7 Sports final class rankings for the 25 class, Kansas signee Darren Peterson passed A.J. DeBonsa as the number one overall player in the class. Do you think this will fire A.J. up?
Yes. I don't think A.J. is going to go on public record and say that it's going to fire him up, but I know how I'd feel if I were A.J., which is, really? I've been the number one player the entire year. In fact, for more than a year. And at the very end, like, I get passed, and now I'm the number 2 player. Yeah, this would irk me, and I think it will bother A.J. in a positive way. This will push him just to take his game to another level. I know I asked him about NBA draft rankings as well, because some other publications started to say, well, maybe A.J. goes number 2. And I straight up asked him in one of our interviews, does that bother you? Like, how do you process that? And he's like, it's just one publication, one person. It doesn't actually matter. But then he said, it will make me work harder. It'll make me work harder.
The last dance. And I took that personally. Sure. Whatever motivates you, get after it. I think he's going to work hard and be his best self regardless of whether he's number 1, 2, 3, whatever. He'll get after it.
Yes. John Rothstein reported today that BYU is expected to be one of the 4 teams in the 2025 Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden in December. How cool is that? Are you all in on BYU playing at the historic MSG?
This is something we've wanted for a while. Specifically talking about next year. Hey, BYU in New York City at the world's most famous arena, MSG, that'd be great. And so here we are. I'm excited to see the matchups. It's not expected to be a 2-game thing. It's expected to be just a 1-game doubleheader on probably Tuesday, December 9th. They're typically kind of that second Tuesday. So that's exciting, man. Adding to what we already know is going to be a tournament in Orlando, Villanova in the opener. You've got Nebraska as the exhibition game, which is public and new. And then you've got at Wyoming somehow sitting there. Just buy that one out. It's a great schedule so far.
Listen, who doesn't want to go to Laramie and Madison Square Garden in the same month?
Yo.
Last year's teams we played in the Jimmy V Classic, by the way, Miami, Tennessee, Elite Eight team, Michigan, Sweet 16 team, Arkansas, also made a nice deep run into the tournament.
Sweet 16, should have been Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Blew it against
six. Notable teams is the point there.
Awesome. BYU softball hosts UCF coming up tomorrow in a three-game series in Big 12 play, 8 Eastern time on ESPN+.
After the break, Travis Hansen is back in studio to shed more insight into Yegor Demin's decision to enter the NBA draft. And because some of you asked, we discuss Travis's role in bringing Yegor to Provo once again. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
I want to say thank you to my mentor and my best friend, my almost older brother, Travis. He took me under his wing since the first day of me being in States, and Travis is the guy who was always there for me, and we had Sunday dinners almost every week. He took me, his family invited me to his house, and he's just such an amazing human being that, you know, he's just a big example for me. Not just a player, but as a human being.
We are live in Studio B. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton.
Is that only a day ago? Man, it feels like that was a long time ago.
A lot has happened. It was an emotional day.
It was.
It was an emotionally bittersweet day.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we wish Yegor Demin the best, but understandably sad that he's just not going to be around at BYU because he makes people feel so much happiness and joy.
I know.
Straight up.
He was fun to be around.
Now, to help us process through this is the man that was sitting to Yegor's right yesterday.
His almost older brother.
Almost older brother. Yeah. Travis Hansen is back on BYU Sports.
What's up, Trav?
Hi, guys.
Did he know you were Elder 8 Mile? Did that ever come up? Did you break out footage, pictures?
He does know. And one of his friends just changed their contact from Travis Hansen to Elder 8 Mile.
Nice. That's one of the best nicknames in BYU basketball history. I love it, dude.
What was yesterday like for you, emotionally speaking?
It's been a roller coaster of emotions. We love him. We love his family. We love him. We're proud of him, and we're here to support him all the way through. Have we tried to talk him into staying? Yes. Do we want to keep him here and protect him and love him a little bit more for another year? Yes. But it's his dreams, and he's this close, and it's the right move for him. So we're excited for him. So yeah, roller coaster of emotions. Mm-hmm.
We would have loved to have him with AJ and that whole team and everything. Yeah. But he mentioned yesterday, and the ultimate decision maker at this place is, I prayed and got an answer. And that's what he said. He consulted in a way that we respect is, what does God want with my life? And he feels like the next step is the NBA. And I loved what he said yesterday. He could not have had a better press conference, by the way. And some people were thinking, because of some of the posts, Travis, that he was coming back. But what he wanted was a time to thank the fans. And talk to Russia in Russian. And talk in Spanish to Real Madrid, a place that you played. You know this path. And now he heads off to the NBA. I thought he could not have had a better day yesterday in how he presented that.
I agree. I think he's socially aware beyond his years. He's an old soul. He's a phenomenal person. It was fun to see him speak some Spanish and Russian. Afterwards, he said, how was my Spanish? I said, it's really good. He's like, man, I was a little nervous there speaking. I haven't spoken it for a while. But he speaks all three languages perfectly, and I agree. He did a phenomenal job, and it was important for him to, from a young kid from Moscow, Russia, had to move to Spain for 3 years without his family, to thank everyone along the way. And he has that humility and kindness and empathy that's, you know, I think a lot of us are still striving to get, and it comes very natural to him. It's a gift.
I'm taking all of you with me in this experience emotionally. I thought that was cool.
Yep. Travis Hansen is on BYU Sports Nation. I had a few fans reach out to me before, during, and after Yegor's news conference and ask, okay, explain to me once again how Travis initially got involved in this and where the connection began. And I thought, well, Travis has told us on the show before, but let's have you do it again for our BYU fans. Like, when did that relationship begin, and how did it get to the point where he's legitimately considering coming to BYU?
well, for the fans, I played basketball and played in the NBA and then over in the Euro League for Real Madrid and Moscow, Russia. And so I have a lot of connections over there. I spent, 10 years of my life and our family spent over there. And so we love it. There's people that we love. And when you play for a team for 5 years, you get to know the janitors to the assistant coaches, to everyone that's important, and the bus drivers. And they're all my friends and my Facebook friends. They still, we still share birthdays and what's going on in their families. And one of those people was his dad, Vladimir, who was a coach for the junior team when I was there. And so as Yegor started to show more promise for a young, skinny little kid, I got pictures I'll show you when he was like little dude.
So you knew him when he was little?
I did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't know him. I knew his dad.
You knew his dad.
But they started sending me pictures of how good he was. And eventually he's like, well, what do we do? Do we stay in Russia? Do we go to Real Madrid? And Real Madrid's, the superpower of Europe as far as development's concerned. And so he made that choice, hard choice at a young age, that he wanted to chase his dreams and he wanted the best coaches and the best development. And you can see this aggressive mentality that he keeps, that's helped him in life to do hard things. When I left BYU, there was 50 agents that reached out to me. I don't know who's who. What's an agent, And I found out soon enough that there's a lot of Chucksters and Heidsters out there in the agent world. So I sent the list to Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge came back and said, there's two out of the 50. I said, there's 48 bad choices. He's like, 48 guys, I don't even know who they are. And so he said two. Justin Zanuck, who's now the GM of Utah Jazz. We interviewed him. And then Bill Duffy, who's Luka, Steve Nash, Carmelo, Yao Ming's agent. And we chose to go with Bill, and it changed my life. What would my life have been like had I not had a mentor like Danny Ainge to help me sift through, and try to find the truth? And so that's what we do for Yegor. We're helping him sift through and find the truth of what he should do for his career. And I'm just doing what people have, done for me and blessed my life. I can't imagine what my career would have been like without great mentors like Danny.
Mm. He's going to be a first-round guy. Certainly his hope is to be in the lottery. What do you have a team or teams that you're like, hey, I hope they pick him up? This would be the best fit for him. How are you feeling about it?
well, it's, I played for so long and with so many people, half my friends are now general managers of these teams. Trajan Langdon with the Detroit Pistons, I played against him for 5 years in Russia, and Anthony Parker with the Orlando Magic. And, it's just Kyle Korver with the Hawks, who just sent me a package. Kyle, that was very nice of you sending some Atlanta Hawks game. I think it's all about fit, and you're trying to find out where the right fit is for him, from the owner to the GM to the coach, the style of play and their belief and confidence in him. So we're hard at work analyzing those opportunities.
Does he fit most everywhere? I mean, in the NBA, he would generally fit almost everywhere?
You're a 6'9", ginormous point guard that can see from...
It's going to work out, right?
Yeah, he has eyes in the back of his head, and there's zero concerns with his shot. So it's going to be more spacing. It'll be easier to score. It's all.
They'll call fouls that they didn't call.
They may call some fouls, some hip checks.
Please.
When they're riding.
Ain't no Houston in the NBA.
Yeah. They've hitched their wagon to him and holding him back. He'll do wonderful. There'll be better fits and better styles of play, just like everywhere. And really, you're looking at someone who's going to be, which I think why the reason he chose BYU is they're going to outlove, outdevelop, and outpurpose. And so there's this narrative that we outbid people, and we don't. We just outlove them, outdevelop them, outpurpose them. And so we're trying to find an organization in the NBA that'll do that for him.
More on that. Yet we are competitive in NIL. And to me, Travis, that should be celebrated. For some reason, we sort of hide around here with that fact. I think we should celebrate it, that you, the donors, the fans contribute in a way that helps here. But it's not just money. You have to love, you have to develop, you have to do all those things. Right now, it feels like there's a combination of a lot of amazing opportunities here that is very attractive for a lot of players.
Yeah, I mean, NIL is an amazing tool. It's not the foundation of who we are. It'll never be the identity of BYU. Yegor passed up more money to come to BYU.
Yeah.
There were huge schools, Arkansas, one of them, that offered way more money, and he chose BYU because he chose, in reality, it came down to trust. And you see this with a lot of players, is they trust Coach Satake and Heather Homestead. You know, I talked to Erin Livingston, and she came and trained my daughter at my place, and she's unbelievable. And the way
she's
talks
awesome.
About this place,
she's great.
And so, yeah, they're choosing, you know, trust, love, development, their ability to progress spiritually, intellectually. That's more important to them. The same thing happened to me. So I'm over there in Europe, and I got two big offers. One from Olympiakos in Athens, Greece. Great team. Now, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, they got all the money in the world, and they're known to have a lot of money. And then I get an offer from Real Madrid. And Madrid is, Real Madrid to me is prestigious. It's a place where they outlove, they outdevelop, and they definitely have outpurpose other schools. So I'm looking at the, you know, offers, and I too, you know, like Igor, I believe in God and have faith in Jesus Christ. So I pray, as I sat down with my wife and we prayed, and we felt like we should go to Real Madrid. And we took less money than we could have made to go to a place that felt the best. And so, yeah, there'll be players that pass up BYU and go chase money. That's good. It's probably not the best place for you if you're just chasing money. This is a place that's different, that's special. And people are finding that out.
Preach.
What do you believe that BYU, in terms of trajectory and what Kevin Young is doing, what do you feel like, if you could sum up from your perspective, the culture and the direction of what is happening under Kevin Young, what would you say to that?
Well, it's a lot more art than science to put together an amazing culture. And I would say, I've said this before, wins and success go where they're wanted most. And it's not just about the head coach. The head coach has got to want it. But then it's all the staff members. It's the admin, the resources. It's the fans. It's the boosters. And it's the players. And really, it's contagious. And so what Kevin's been able to do, I mean, his whole family is awesome. Like, they're all
super. We were just talking about how awesome.
Yeah, they're all super competitive, and they're all really into basketball, but their parents weren't. So I don't know how these brothers all of a sudden developed this amazing DNA of they love to win, and they love to compete, and they genuinely love the kids, and they love the process. And so they've just developed this, you know, foundation of a perfect alignment with a great mission and that competitiveness. And the way they've been able to align it attracts people that think the same way, just like my wife and I thought the same way at Real Madrid, and Yegor thought that same way.
What's your advice to Richie Saunders? Should he, you know, enter his name and see what's out there? Because right now it doesn't feel like he's a guaranteed first-round guy, and he could have a monster senior year and perhaps better his stock. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, I love Richie. Richie's awesome.
Bonafide star.
He's so good. He's so fun to watch. And he's one of those guys, when you're a young kid, you think you got to be 6'9", and a 50-inch vertical. And if you'll just work and work, good things will happen, sometimes great things, and sometimes incredible things. And what's happened with Richie is absolutely incredible because he put in the work. I mean, he is a workaholic. He's got, you know, pains in his knees or, you know, and dealing with some issues, and he just outworks everybody.
No one knew any of that during the season.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about it. It wasn't limping. It was
his
play.
He's just a beast. And yeah. So it's his mindset. It's his physicality. He needs to surround himself with the best people, and needs to find the truth. And if you do that, you have the right people around you. He'll be able to make the right decisions. And I just talked to him yesterday, and he definitely has the right people around him. So we'll help him as we did with Yegor, and send him in the right direction. And let's see what happens.
All right, we'll finish with this. If you had to pick a number, not a team, but a number of where you think Yegor would go if the NBA draft happened today, what would it be?
We don't care. We're all about fit. We could care less. You know, we want, you know, Utah Jazz at 21. Danny.
You know, I knew it. Now, hopefully he's there at 21.
Yeah, most likely he'll go. In my opinion, he has to crush the workouts. And crush means you got to make shots. You got to, you know, show your conditioning level. They'll try to wear you down before you start shooting. They'll try to wear you down before one-on-ones and two-on-twos, ball handling. And so he's going to go to L.A., and he's going to start to prepare. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to follow his journey along. Most likely, from the feedback I've got, is 7-12.
That'd be awesome.
But again, it doesn't matter.
It's all about fit.
It's all about fit, and let's see how good he can become.
But it kind of does. Top 10 would be awesome. Right? Like, that'd be great.
He'll be the highest drafted Russian in the history of Russia.
Oh, nice.
How cool is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll be cool for him.
Travis, you're awesome. Thanks for coming in and hanging out
with us again. Thanks, Trev. Always good to see you, man.
Go Cougs.
BYU baseball going on the road to take on Utah tomorrow night, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+. Cougars put up, what, a 19 spot?
19
on Utah Tech
runs.
Last night. The St. Jeezy boys took it personally there.
12 by the softball team against Utah Tech, 19 by the BYU baseball team against Utah Tech. Hey, speaking of projections, where does ESPN's Jonathan Givony have Yegor Demian slated in his latest mock draft? Plus, the aforementioned BYU baseball headlines on the way on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Freshman point guard Yegor Demian announced yesterday that he will enter his name into the NBA draft. ESPN's Jonathan Givony's new 2025 mock currently has Demian going 12th to the Bulls. Heard from Travis Hanson a moment ago. He said he's hearing 7 to 12 right now, which would be amazing. If you missed our interview with Yegor yesterday, you can find it on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel and the free BYU TV app.
BYU men's basketball finishes the season ranked number 13 in the final AP poll released yesterday. It's the 13th time in program history that BYU has ended a season ranked in that final AP poll and the highest that the Cougars have finished in a poll since they were number 10 back in 2011, led by Jimmer Fredette. BYU also the third highest ranked Big 12 team in that AP poll, trailing only Houston at number 2 and Texas Tech at number 8.
Speaking of Tech, JT Toppin just announced about 10 minutes ago he is returning to Lubbock next year. John Rothstein reported today BYU is expected to be one of the four teams in the 2025 Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden in December this season. So BYU's non-conference games, as reported or confirmed so far, exhibition game at Nebraska in October, season opener versus Villanova in Las Vegas November 3rd, a Thanksgiving multi-team event or MTE in Orlando, two games, Georgetown, Miami, Dayton, two of those three, Jimmy V Classic, as mentioned, and for some reason at Wyoming.
BYU softball beats Utah Tech 12-7 last night at Miller Park, thanks to a program single-game record-tying 8 runs batted in by Kayla Kamoku, 3 for 3, including a grand slam and a 3-run homer. Wow. With the victory, BYU improves to 24-10 on the season. The Cougars welcome UCF to Pro Bowl for a massive 3-game Big 12 conference series beginning tomorrow. Both of those teams in a good position to make the tournament. Whoever wins the series going to take a leg up. Ilovea Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski, the birthday girl, will join us in the next segment.
Baseball beat up Utah Tech 19-1 in St. George yesterday. There's a bunch of players from St. George on BYU's team. They showed out for the homies, snapping a 3-game losing streak. Each Cougar batter recorded a hit. Cooper Vest, who's from St. George, 2 homers, 4 RBIs. Brock Watkins, 3 hits, including a home run and 4 RBIs. BYU at Utah beginning tomorrow night.
After the break, Elo Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski, as we mentioned, fresh off that win over Utah Tech. We'll preview the series with UCF and what in the world's going on with BYU and the home run ball. They're the best in the Big 12 at it.
Let's go.
This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation rolls on with our question of the day. Will BYU men's basketball finish better in the preseason or be ranked better in the preseason poll next year than they finished this year at number 13? At Cam_Cougar25 on X says, it depends on who they bring back or get in the portal, but I think they will have a strong case to be ranked better in that preseason poll.
Now, let's say we know Kaba. We think Richie returns. A.J. DiBonsa. TBD. Let's say BYU gets said point guard from the portal. And you bring back Dawson and Mihailo and Brody, let's say. That team, to me, is like 12 and in. Like, that team, if you add, BYU still needs a shooter or two. They need maybe one of those two guys to be a 3-and-D guy. They still need a big. They kind of need one of everything. They need a point guard, a shooter, a 3-and-D, and a big. Like, that's, like, a lot of what a regular starting five would consist of. It's going to be awesome. Now, you can only fill up with so many good guys, though. Like, because star players want to play with other star players. But, like, 7 of them don't want to play together. So, you target a couple of good fits. And then you put together good pieces around them. Like, BYU has a star in AJ. They have a star in Richie. And then they have great complementary players around them. And perhaps this Bortle guy is a star, too. Could be pretty good, man.
If BYU can maintain their core, the majority of it, that is always key. And we've talked about
it. And the core right now is specifically Kaba,
Richie, Dawson Baker,
Dawson,
Mihailo Boskovic.
And then you hope you can retain a young talent in Brody Kozlowski. You hurt his hand during
yes.
the season.
Yes.
We didn't see him as much as we wanted to.
At CL underscore living on X says, I hope not. I like the mindset where BYU tends to be undervalued and can play with that chip on their shoulders.
I think that era is going away a little bit because BYU is getting top recruits in the country, TBD in football. Like you saw, we saw a tight end this week. As BYU gets more talented and wins more games, they will need to learn. They will need to change the business model of we are good, we are expected to be good, and we handle success well.
The mindset shift.
I like that, no doubt, but it's going to change a little bit as BYU gets better in this.
The mindset shift for BYU football and basketball now is we need to prove that that season wasn't a fluke. We need to prove that it wasn't a fluke.
We prove people right. When we're ranked high, we answer that. As opposed to, no one thought we could do it. 84, we were unranked, we won the Natty. That's great. That's the BYU that was in the WAC and independent in the Mountain West. This is BYU in the Big 12. This is BYU with great culture, coaching, competitive NIL. This is a new era. This is a new business model to me.
Will BYU be ranked better in the preseason poll next year than they finished this year at Can of Picante and X says probably.
Nice.
Two words or letters in this matter, A and J.
Yeah, BYU's bringing in its greatest recruit in any sport ever. The expectations should be high.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from at BYU underscore Braves on X, who answers, taking off the blue goggles? Yes, I honestly believe so. Right now, BYU is a point guard and a few depth pieces away from being legit title contenders. And Kevin Young has already earned the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. I expect BYU to be amazing next year. I can't wait for basketball season already. We have to wait until November to watch basketball games? Late October? What?
Can we just get it rolling again?
I know.
Football and basketball, let's go.
Football's like, we're right here.
Hey, remember how we finished 13th and went 11-2?
We're like less than 4 months away from
we're going to be a preseason
camp.
Top 20 team.
Are you please make it manifest.
Today's Rise
and
Shout.
That's the first pan ever to just your hand in the air in the history of the program.
Low hand. Today's Rise and Shout Outs presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cool tweet from Jack DeMooney. The greatest feeling is when our school motto, enter to learn, go forth to serve, impacts our former players. Great to see former BYU defense back Isaiah Heron, who was serving in the Air Force and doing very well for himself. That's what it's all about. Go Cougs. Isaiah was in the building the other day. Very cool with Justin Anderson and Brandon Bradley and John Swift with Jack. That's very awesome of Isaiah. He's doing great work. He looks great.
Well done, Isaiah. Yeah, super cool. Serving the country.
It's awesome.
So much respect for those guys.
Absolutely respect. If you miss any of our shows, interviews, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app, to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
All right, after the break, Elo Brittingham and Lindy Melkowski of BYU Softball will discuss last night's important win. Got a little weird, and then they took control. And they preview a huge battle with UCF in Big 12 play. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU and picks up a home victory. Milkowski well hit left field and gone. This could be a double play. It is. Kamoku high and deep. A grand slam.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Fresh off that 12-7 win from BYU softball against Utah Tech.
Fun.
Are two of the stars of the Cougar softball team. They are Elo Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski.
Happy
Welcome
birthday
to the show.
To you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate you.
All right, let's just go ahead and start with why last night's game was so important. And it got a little weird. It's 5-5 in the fourth inning. And a week earlier, he had lost to Utah Valley. And you wondered, like, oh, no, is it happening again? But then the stars rose up, Lindy. And it started, I believe, in a lot of ways with your home run to, like, bring some relief back to that dugout. So what was that moment like for you?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even describe it. I think the best thing is kind of going through, and I was just like, okay, this is the time to be clutch. Like, this is kind of the time to kind of turn it on. Is like, we don't want to let these guys in our game. Like, we're a Big 12 team. We're kind of good. I was like, we're a little good. So I was thinking to myself, I was like, I just want to hit a single to right field. And luckily, my buddy was on first base, And she had, you know, she'd made the play before that. And so I was like, okay, this is the time. This pitcher, she's like, she's got nothing on me. I can do this. So I just sat back and saw it. And, I mean, that thing was a laser beam. Like, I feel like it barely got off the ground.
Yes.
And so I hit it, and I was like, and then apparently I sprinted around the bases, which is what I do. I don't trot. I'm not a big
You're
trotter.
A sprinter on the
I'm a
base
sprinter.
Nice.
Coach Allie comes up to me. She goes, I think you just ran a 12-second home run. She was like, you were just 12 seconds around there. But
That's
it was
great.
Just a great moment. I'm happy that we could all pull together as a team. And a big part of that was really Kayla. She came in super clutch for us. And she kind of generated that offense. And I was happy to just follow in her footsteps.
8 RBIs are incredible. Lots of homers. Ilave, 14 homers this season to lead the team. What's worked for you this year, because that's a ton?
Just staying down, staying disciplined, trying to drive it oppo, trying to get line drives. Honestly, that's the mindset going up there.
Now listen, this response should not surprise you, because when Elo walks up to the plate, it's just super casual, nonchalant. Your teammates give you a hard time about it, super relaxed. Like, good, what a 14 home run,
and then,
no big deal.
Boom.
Okay, what is
and
it?
And then Lindy's the opposite, she's sprinting.
They're like, please.
What is it about that approach for you, where you're calm in those moments?
I mean, it's just softball. It's just a game. You're supposed to love and enjoy it, so shouldn't be too stressed out when you're up there. You're supposed to enjoy the game and have some fun.
Where does that chill nature come from? Like, are your parents chill? Is it like, where did this come from? Because not everyone's like that. People get rattled. People get excited.
Like, I mean, there's different moments where, like, you can get rattled. Sometimes I'll be up there and I'm like, and I just have to pretend.
You pretend well, apparently. Yeah.
A couple of things. One, I'd like to point out that Lindy also has 12 home runs on the season.
Yes.
So between the two,
this
26.
Is the number one Big 12 home run hitting team, as you mentioned.
They average more than a home run and a half per game on the season.
That's fun for the play-by-play.
Yeah, an incredible
Thank
number.
Thank you for him. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really, really enjoyable to call.
Yeah.
But also, I need to point out that Ela made a nice defensive play in right field last night. Did she not, Lindy?
Absolutely,
okay,
she did.
A little slide on there.
I
saw
like,
the big
okay,
smile
slide.
After that.
I saw the little slide on there. I was like, okay, she's sliding in there like that. I was like, you go, girl.
Smooth little catch.
You do more than just hit bombs, right? Okay, yeah.
Sometimes.
Absolutely. All right, up next is UCF. Massive series. You know what's on the line here. This is another NCAA tournament quality team. You're battling as BYU players and a team to get back in the tournament for the first time in 3 years. And there's, you know, there's always that night in the back of your mind. So how do you balance that? A question for both of you as you prepare for a really important series.
I think for me, like, the biggest thing is we just got to know our game. Like, we got to know that we're a great hitting team and we're also a great defensive team. I think the biggest thing is just knowing that, like, we're the best out there. And they don't want to come play us. Like, they're scared. Like, I just feel like with us coming in and having such a great offensive team and then also coming in defensively, we have a great pitching staff. We're coming in really hot from the weekend and just kind of translating that into our energy. I think energy is a huge piece for us too, is showing how we can be an energetic team and that kind of thrives in our offense and defense.
Elo, how do you feel about the series upcoming?
Yeah, I mean, just like she said, we need to bring the energy. We need to come out hot and just attack.
And can you speak to what Spencer was talking about the hunger of this program knows they're good and you're trying to get back to the tourney and you feel like this is the group that's going to do it?
I feel like we've definitely banded together and we've had a lot of, you know, communication as a team of just saying, like, we want this. Like, this is the team that we, you know, a lot of us weren't here last year, about 50-50. We're here with the wins with Oklahoma. And a lot of it has to do with we want it so bad. Like, a lot of us haven't experienced the regional experience what it's like to go to regionals, and the other half is like, we were 1 point basically short. And so I think that kind of drives this hunger of just like, we want to be there. Like, we want to do the work. We want to put in the effort to not take any game and let it kind of put it past us. Like, we want to come ready every game and come hungry so that we can make it to regionals and show that BYU is that team. And I believe that they can be.
This was the proper way to end the show. The right energy.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm jacked to watch the BYU-UCF game tomorrow now.
Absolutely.
I can't wait.
Let's go.
Come show it.
Thanks to both of you for being with us. Happy birthday, Lindy.
Thank you.
Elo, no pressure, but she's expecting something big, I'm sure. All right, Elo Vale, Brittingham, and Lindy Mokowski of BYU Softball.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right, that wraps up the show. Always, you can find our shows on demand, BYUSN.com. And Jeremy, remind me, did we have time for Dennis Pitta?
We did not. Thanks to Trav for joining the program. No time for Dennis, who did not hit a home run at BYU. Fun fact. Never hit a home run.
He did a lot of great things, but he never hit a home run.
Right, but he didn't hit a home run.
Oh, we love Dennis. For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Allie Hancock Schneeman, who's pregnant with her second girl.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congrats.
Go Cougs.
To the Schneemans.